Thank you guys so much for being here, each and every one of you. It's really an honor, and just going to share a few things from the scripture. Just want to share the good news of Jesus. Hey, I just, you know, just we're sitting over there, I was just feeling like God's touching someone's like kidney. I don't know if there's anybody in here that's had kidney issues, but right now I just speak to that. You're healed, man. Just feel the touch of the Lord. Maybe you've been going to dialysis or something for like a whole long time, but right now you just say, no more. You need her. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, somebody with kidney trouble? Anybody? No. You're good. Oh, Beth. Cool. No more. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, and back pain. You know, like we were just talking last night, sometimes you just come into like a meeting and you're already kind of feeling good, but then in the glory you just feel better, you know? Ooh. Because like, I don't know about you guys, but like one of the amazing, beautiful fruits of the gospel that we're realizing is like not just like healing, but like total and complete health and wholeness. Oh. Like, what does a glorified body look like? Wow. Glorified. Hey. Thank you. I like this guy, yeah. So, wow, yeah. You can just move your whole body around. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Glorified. You know, the same Jesus that justified you sanctified you. The same Jesus that sanctified you glorified you. Wow. It's all in the same passage. It's all in the same package. So tonight, what's amazing, you know, wow, like we're just, you know, obviously we're having like a festival, a feast, a party, celebration. So we're going to take communion at the end. But it's like, whoa, in the midst of all of this, like it's like we're this drunk because we read the Bible, you know. Like, we're this whacked because, like, the truth, you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. And there's no freedom like the reality of the truth. And so I love Revelation. Like, I'm a bit of a teacher. Like I were talking about on my YouTube channel, I have, like, hundreds of hours of free just Bible study. You know what I mean? It's not like Matt Spinks's new Revelation and stuff. I'm just reading, a lot of it's like, I'm just reading 2,000-year-old Revelation that we, like, haven't paid attention to. Or whatever. Like, and that... And that's all I want to read tonight. I'm just going to read like a few like passages. Like one, I'm going to read the gospel of Jesus, which is hilarious how many people couldn't quote you the gospel that Jesus preached. Like they can tell you the four spiritual laws, or they can tell you like Jesus died on a cross, or they can tell you all kinds of information or all kinds of passages. But if you're like, what was the gospel that Jesus preached? They're like, you'll get like 100 different answers. But like Jesus didn't have 100 different ones. He had like the same one. Like everywhere, and it's really good news. Like I've been preaching for 8 years, and it's like more exciting to me every time. So like, if you're here tonight, and you're like, "Oh, they're just doing the gospel and like stuff like that," yeah, I got that. Like, I'm like, dude, no. Then that's not the gospel I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about another gospel. Whoa! Another gospel. Is he preaching another gospel? No, but there's been a lot of people that have preached another gospel, and you might have heard it. So, but like, I just want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which got Paul so jacked up that in Romans 1, he could say, I'm not ashamed. Like, I'm like, because I know that this gospel is the power of God. So there's a lot of people like, I want the power. I want like the glory and the demonstrations. It's like, the gospel is the power of God. Yeah. And so like, you might have seen a lot of cool men of God or women of God anointed and, like, had all kinds of crazy things. But if you get the gospel, you get the full package. And you don't have to, like, chase every little thing out there and try to collect them all. Like, Tony's on the 100 level of Charizard Pokemon tongue speaking anointing. give him a word, brother. I'll interpret that as Jesus Christ. So you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Woo! The truth is a person, Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ had one primary message as he walked this earth. And so, wow, like that's probably pretty key. So we're going to talk about that, and that's going to be fun. And, you know, just a couple little intro phrases. You know, why are we so wild? Like, what's going on here? Like, we realize, like, that everybody in the world is looking for two things. Intimacy and ecstasy. And so, like, those are kind of two things that, like, whenever we minister, we're just like, oh, let's just, like, release, you know, that stuff. Let's just kind of, like, so, like, I believe, you know, Lady Gaga and, like, Lil Wayne and, like, Kesha and all these guys are going to start coming to our meetings to learn how to party, you know? Honestly, and we've had rock stars, like, attend our house meeting because they heard it was whacked, like, weird stuff, you know? Like, just fun. Like, they're like, that's why we're doing web stream tonight. We got our little camera on because, like, people, like, click it on the internet or, like, they tag this person or hashtag whoever. And, like Tony's friends with, like, wrestling people, like, WWE people. And, like, just hilarious because, like, they're like, wow, the church is really boring. But, like, this guy looks kind of happy. So, like, or something's going on. Like, he's sharing testimonies of blind eyes opening and deaf ears hearing. We were just in Nepal. We saw, like, 5 deaf people here in one day. Jacked up. It was pretty crazy, dude. It was fun. We saw a mute boy speak, like, right in front of our eyes. They're like, he's never spoken in his life. And Tony's like, in Jesus' name, speak. And the guy's like, Kululu, Kululu, Kululu. We were like, aww, Kululu. I don't know what that means. We didn't have the interpretation, but we had the healing, so it was good. I don't know if it was proper protocol. Kululu.com. Check it later. Whoa, where are we at? Yeah, dude. So, but my heart, like, when it, like, it's so cool to be able to, like, kind of just become, like, comfortable, like, in who you are. I know sometimes that sounds, like, weird, like, wow, I don't want to be just rest and, like, get too comfortable or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of peace when you can, like, just fall asleep at night and know that you are, like, totally cool just being yourself that day. You know, and, like, that you don't have to be, like, somebody else. Like, I'm not like Tony. Tony's not like Jared, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, we all have, like, the same access, the same Jesus, the same glory, but then we have, like, unique expressions, and that's really fun. And so my expression, like, a lot of times is just, like, teaching stuff. So I love it. So I'm just going to point to, like, a couple of truths tonight. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Hebrews 12. I'll probably be mostly in Hebrews a little bit, and then I'll read you the gospel that Jesus preached, which is out of the Gospels. But if you want to turn to Hebrews 12, oh, we'll just start right there. Some good stuff. I love Hebrews. I love so many of Paul's writings. A lot of people don't know who the author of Hebrews is. I think it was probably Paul, but who knows or whatever. But I love so many of the epistles and especially Paul's writings because, like, it's funny, but, like, a lot of times you think, wow, they're combating, like, Jewish law. They're like, all these guys want to go back to the law, like Judaizers and what. We're like, well, we don't have, like, guys trying to teach, like, Old Testament law today, so how is that relevant? But how many of you know, like, every religion is still religion? You know what I mean? Religion is religion is religion. It's the same things across the board. Like, religion thrives on two lies, distance and delay. And that's always, it's always what you find everywhere you go. So Judaism or whatever, like, the, going back to, like, trying to just teach the 600 and whatever laws or, like, the 10 commandments or be circumcised or whatever. It's the same thing as, like, how many steps you have to get the glory to manifest. Or, like, positioning yourself or, like, doing all these things that we have today. And so it makes the epistles all of a sudden, like, fresh and relevant. Oh, like, maybe Paul was, like, trying to get back to the heart of something. Like, because what was so crazy is, like, Paul would go to a place and preach the gospel and have, like, tons of people respond and then come back, like, a year later or whatever. And, like, there's all these guys come and try to, like, add to it. You know, oh, well, yeah, that's great. But now this. Now that's cool, but now this. And the simplicity. So many times it's like, I just want the simplicity of Christ. You know, like, Paul's like, well, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so, like many of you, you may have been raised in the church, or maybe you haven't, but you've been in the church for a while. And it's like, there's so many things that we can talk about, and they're amazing. Like, I love, like, I went to tons of worship conferences and studied worship and all that, and that's great. You know, and I studied, like, the anointing, and I studied, like all these, you know, different things that you can, like, get into, and all these cool things. But, like, all of it kind of loses its flavor if it's not, like, if you don't have the foundation of the simplicity of Christ. Right? It's like, you can teach on worship all day long, but if someone falls in love with Jesus, you don't have to really teach them anything. They're like, woo! Yeah! You know? Like, I was a worship leader for like 10 years, and I was always like, man, why are these people not getting into it? Come on! Come on! Come on! Come on! And we, like, teach worship leaders how to manipulate the crowd into getting people into it, you know? Like, we know, like, they're like, all right, everybody's just gonna stand now, you're just gonna raise your hand, blah, 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 blah. It's like, somebody falls in love with Jesus, you have to, like, you pretty much have to, like, calm them down, like, tell them to stop raising their hands, you know? Stop, like, okay, like, that, we're gonna try to preach now, all right? Like, I know you're all like having kissy time with Jesus. We're going to try to preach for a minute. Like, because they're in love. You know? They're just in love. And that's what I see in this gospel. Like, it's the first time that I was like, I was just ravished to the point where it's like, you had to tell me to like stop praying, like stop like worshiping. Or, like, it wasn't like how to get more prayer life. I'm like, dude, I'm just talking to Jesus all the time. It's really jacked up. Like, it's so fun. It's like amazing, you know? And like all those other things then begin to fall into place and context, you know? So in Hebrews 12, oh, let's see if I can get there, Jesus. I lost my Bible in the glory here, so I have someone else's Bible right now. Oh, Lord. Okay, Hebrews, James. We're coming to the end of the book. I love Hebrews. I have a whole series on it on YouTube somewhere. But you get to the end of Hebrews, chapter 12, toward like, let's start at verse 18. Ooh. Oh, this is juicy. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Like, I know we're reading the Bible. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, there's the part I already know. It's kind of boring. No, dude. I'm feeling it. The difference here he just simply like compares like the glory of religion versus the glory of the gospel. Here's a little comparison. Verse 18. You have not come to something that can be touched like a blazing fire or darkness or gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. Have you ever been in a sermon like that? For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Touch not that anointing, brother. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses was like, I tremble with fear. Okay, so there's like, you know, that's kind of like the glory of religion. You're like, it's like confusion, it's darkness, it's gloom. It's like people being like, I don't know, can I approach that kind of God? Can I be close to that kind of God? I'm not really sure. I'm kind of like, please stop talking. Okay, verse 22, though, says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable angels in feastal gathering. Festal, it means a festival and a feast. Oh. To the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, you've come to God, the judge of all, but the judge in a cool way because it's the judge of the spirits of righteous men made perfect, so he judges you perfect. Ooh. And to Jesus, you have, so it's like, and you've come to, oh yeah, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Oh, I love the blood of Jesus because the blood of Jesus speaks of your worth and your value. The blood of religion always speaks of lack and of something that you're missing and something that condemnation, criticism, right? And so many times we've come to a message and it's come with criticism and lack. It's come with, hey, it's always the kingdom's here, but not yet. You ever heard that preached? Well, guess what this says? It says you've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Let's demystify some of these words, right? Hebrews 12, 22. Oh, man, I'm whacked. Help me read, Lord. You have, I mean, and I'm going to get to the gospel because I love this one because a lot of times when I read the gospel, honestly, I'll watch a crowd of people slip directly into unbelief when I say it, like right into it. They'll be like, I'll preach the gospel, and at first, their eyes glaze over, and they're like, that's got to be a misinterpretation. It's not anywhere else in the scripture, and then they just kind of check out. And then afterward, they come up with, and they have all these like arguments saying that it's too good to be true. The scandal of the gospel is that it's better than we would ever imagine. It's exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. And so we've all like made up these excuses in our heart to qualify it. Like so it's always the buts. But doo-doo comes from butts. As soon as you qualify the gospel, you're going to have to add your own works to it, your own doo-doo. You're going to have to add all these things, and all of a sudden, it just stinks. It's straight up true. And then people are like, stop talking. It smells. It's not the fragrance of Jesus. This stinks, dude. But it says, I'm just sharing this first
just say, listen, I've been listening to some Jason Upton albums lately. I really love him. I love Jason. Really amazing worship leader. And what I loved is when he put out an album and he had a song where he sang from this chapter. And he sang, the chorus is, you have come to the mountain of the living God. Take a good look around you. What you see is what you got. There's no better day coming. There's no brighter morning sun. You have come to the mountain of the living God. Oh, it's so good. And you're like, wow, that sounds like kind of weird. That sounds like kind of like not biblical. And then you're like, oh, he's just like literally reading this, singing this. He's like singing the Bible. It says, you have come to Mount Zion. Like, do you know where you are right now? Like, do you know where you are? Like, you're in Cleveland, but you're also on Mount Zion.
Yeah.
Like, you're in Cleveland, but you're also in the city of the living God. You're in Cleveland, but you're also in the heavenly Jerusalem, it says. You're in Cleveland, but you're also with innumerable angels in festal gathering. You can say festal is probably the proper pronunciation, but it's like people are like, there's all these religious words you don't even know, you know what they're talking about. It's like what Jared is preaching from in 2 Corinthians. It says, keep the feast. Like, so many people are all about fasting, but like one of the commands is like to keep the feast, the celebration that you've been delivered from sin. Because Christianity, there it says, it says in that day they will fast, like when the bridegroom's taken away from them, right? For the 3 days when Jesus was crucified until he was resurrected, and then it said Jesus returned to them. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, right? So you'll fast in that day, but that day's gone. It's like okay to not take like every passage out of scripture and just apply it to right now. There's a lot of Old Testament passages that were for that time, right? If you want to take a passage of Isaiah and apply it to Jeremiah's day or vice versa, you're going to get a wrong word. Like sometimes they're like flee the city and the other time they're like go into the city, right? Not every word is like pick and choose. You got to understand that there's been progressive revelation and we're in the day of the feast.
Nice.
Pizza!
Yeah. You can eat as much hamburger helper as you want.
Oh my God.
I love you, man.
Oh my God.
It's okay to feast. Like some of us are so serious about our spirituality that we literally have adopted these like beat yourself up things, you know? Or whatever, but when it's all finished, like when it's all said and done, like one of my favorite things is just to say, what did you think you were going to be doing in heaven forever? Let's do it now. Because according to this, you're in heaven. Like I could read you every little one part of this Hebrews 12, but really to summarize it, and then I'm going to go back to the Gospels for a second. It basically says here, you have come to heaven. It's like in the Bible. And actually, when you start to see it, you see it's actually like the theme of the entire Bible.
Yeah, right.
Like it's like the theme. It's like the central theme. Like all in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the coming day when the Messiah would come and usher in a kingdom of heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Whoa. And I don't know about you guys, but I heard the Messiah came. Jesus did something. Jesus did something. Yeah. This tree still reminds me of the tree that Jesus hung on. And displayed to us forever that heaven was always open. That heaven's arms are always open to us. So now that you've read it in the book of Hebrews, like Paul's epistle or whoever you think wrote Hebrews' epistle. Now let's go to my favorite two verses in the Bible. I preach everywhere I go and it never like gets boring to me. Let's go to Mark 1:15. And you don't have to turn to both of them because I know a lot of you are like, you don't have to turn to any of them. I don't really care. But if you turn to Mark 1:15, I think it gets the clearest because it's like, it's just so hilariously clear. Like it gets me so whacked because it's so simple and so clear. Like I think even a little kid could get it. Like I think like, I really do. And what's so funny to me is I never heard it preached even growing up in the church my whole life. Like I never heard this verse preached, but I definitely never heard like even the concept preached. And little did I know it was actually the gospel. Mark 1:15. I'll start in verse 14. This is fun. Oh, thank you guys for being here. It's like such a pleasure to revel in the gospel. It really is. Now, all right, I'm in Mark 1:14 and then following into 15. Now, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, right? Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. All right? And here it says, in my Bible, it's in quotes, and it's one sentence long. It's not complicated. Let me give you context. Jesus only preached three sermons in his life that we have recorded, right? He wasn't like a big sermonizer. And you're like, why not, Lord? Like, why didn't you bring us all these things? He knew if he gave too much stuff, we'll get bogged down in all the complicated whatever. But it said there's something that he went everywhere he went. It said after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee and saying this. And in Matthew 4:17, it says he began to go from village to village proclaiming this. And so everywhere he went, he didn't have like tons of big sermons. He healed the sick and basically said one sentence. And here it is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Now again, like the last passage I read. This is my pulpit. Like the last passage I read, you can get bogged down in the, even like the religious terminology, which I do love the new translations that are coming out trying to sort through some of that like stuff. I love the Mirror Bible. I encourage you to get that. I love like the Message. I love ones that are trying to like get to the heart of it. And they all have different perspectives on it, but they all will crystal clear. Like if you know, you compare these translations, come together and look at this verse. And you can summarize it. I like to summarize like this. Jesus came from village to village and saying and healing the sick and like doing miracles and then saying, hey guys, heaven's here. Or you could say, welcome to heaven. I mean, if you want to break down the actual statement, it's like the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you're like, okay, here's my hand. That's how close is that? Yeah. You know? And I know this isn't a new message for a lot of you, but a lot of us are still have kind of qualified that statement. And said, like, the kingdom of heaven, like, will be at hand if. You know what I mean? But none of that's in there. None of that's in the Bible. My favorite thing is when I read, like, big, like, name teachers and, like, preachers and, like, stuff do articles. I won't name any names, but, like, there was this article, like, again, like, out online against grace, right? A lot of people are, grace is all controversial. Like, the gospel's always been controversial. Like for half the time they wanted to run Paul out of the church by the apostles. Like, Peter and Paul are, like, arguing about it, right? Yeah. So, like, it is controversial. The more you study, the more you realize even the early church guys, like, didn't all agree with one another. Like, a lot of times they're like, whoa, what about that? What about that? Like, Paul, yours is too far. Yours is, like, the greasiest gospel ever, you know? But, like, the Lord, like, basically anointed Paul to, like, write, like, most of the New Testament, like, gave him authority to basically be. In Ephesians 3, he said, I got a revelation that was never before given to prophets or apostles. Ever. And that's why I love like drinking from the gospel of Paul. I love the whole Bible, don't get me wrong, but I believe Paul's gospel will be like an easy foundation for you to get the rest of the Bible. Because Paul, you know, you believe in progressive revelation. Has anyone ever heard of that? Believe in that? Like, today's the greatest day of revelation that's ever been. Whoa. Because it's always increasing from glory to glory. So that means today's the greatest. That's like Tony said, today's actually the least amount of glory from this point on. Yeah. Today's the driest day you'll ever have, even though it's also the drunkest day you've ever had. So Paul comes along as an apostle, like born out of time, but he's got a revelation of some drunk stuff. Where was I going?
The grace article.
Thank you, dude. A lot of times, like it's like I was talking about the gospel right there. When I proclaim that so many times, people are like, I've never heard that in my whole life. And I'm like, that doesn't mean it's not true. You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard that taught in any pulpit anywhere. I'm like, but it says there that Jesus preached this one sentence wherever he went. It was like the one thing that he had to say. Like, if you had, like, Jesus on the stand today and you're like, what do you want to say? He wouldn't, like, give you 100 different random things. He would tell you, hey, guys, I have an awesome message for you tonight. Like, heaven, right here. Yeah. Holy snap. Dude, I can tell people that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to tell people that. Like, we're at Starbucks today. I'm like, there's this girl, her, like, daughter's, like, her little kid's always, Phoebe's, like, attracted to us. She's just, like, hanging out. Like, she's actually, like, surrounding this guy. Like, this little baby is literally, like, running through his legs, like, wouldn't leave him alone, you know? And I'm like, dude, I invited her tonight, you know, and we got to talk to her about Jesus. I didn't, Cole prophesied to her or something. And, like, but it was, like, you know, back in the day, I would have been a little bit, like, hesitant or whatever. But now I'm like, dude, who doesn't want to hear, like, something like, hey, dude, how about if, like, God gave you heaven for free right now? Would that be okay? I don't want to, like, offend you or anything. Like, is that weird? Is that okay? Like, is it okay if, like, I'm like, hey, God wants to give you, like, billions and billions of dollars, like, or something, or whatever, or something? Like, it's, like, amazing! It's, like, freaking drunk, but, like, But there's so much like unbelief around it. Because if it hasn't been your experience, most people have trusted what they've experienced up until now. You know what I mean? That's where most people are living. They're like, I've lived 80 years and I didn't experience heaven. It's like, well, there came a point like, or sometimes God had to step in and bring the truth. You know what I mean? Like, or God's like, well, I don't want to offend anybody. We'll just let them believe whatever they've experienced for all these years and just leave them alone. You know what I mean? But there came a point where Jesus, this is why Jesus came. Like, we were so confused in all of our like theologies and all our understandings. When Jesus appeared on the scene, he said, none of you know God. It's in John 6. Like, he talks to all the religious leaders of the day, and he says, and he wasn't, like, being critical. He just wanted to introduce them to, like, good news. He's like, sorry, guys, like, none of you know God here. Not trying to be mean, but, like, you can have God, like, right now, the fullness. Like, you've never been separate from God, but you, like, forgot about it, so I'm coming to tell you some good news. Or like, reading articles, dude, like, against this stuff, and, like, this like major teacher in the body of Christ like taught on 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's like, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Amazing news. That's exact scripture. Then he adds, literally adds, in parentheses, behind the scripture, his own words. And then writes the entire article, not based on the scripture, but on what was in those parentheses. So you're like, here's like the greatest news ever. Like, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's like freaking amazing. Like, that's another one of the really crystal clear passages of the gospel, because it's like the old is completely gone and the new is completely come. No conditions, no distance, no delay. Everything new now. Freaking amazing. But here's this passage, because he adds after this. Yeah. Because that is the freaking gospel that is being proclaimed. And a lot of guys are like, I don't know about that gospel of grace. It's like too good to be true, or like, or whatever. It's not biblical. And so one of the primary like teachers in the body of Christ is like writing this article. And this isn't to like expose that person. I don't care. But I love the truth, because it sets you free. Like, if the new is completely come, then like I just want you to live in it. You know what I mean? I want to live in it. And I don't want anyone to like Paul was like, there's going to be guys going around a lot of times trying to steal your joy, like rob you of your joy. Let no man cheat you of your joy. Right? And so this article literally says, after the Bible verse, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, in parentheses, in his spirit. Right? And in his spirit, lowercase h. So basically, literally telling people what you've probably heard tons of times. It's like, oh, yeah, heaven's here. Everything's perfect. Everything's been made whole, but in your spirit. And so he added that. The rest of the article was how all these grace guys are deceived, because they're teaching if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and they don't understand that it's only in your spirit, not in the natural, not in your soul, not, and so, and like now added all these qualifiers, not, you know, not your body, not your emotions. Like, so basically you relegate the entire gospel to something like so like ethereal and far away that has no relevance to your daily life whatsoever. Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if I told you guys, oh, heaven is completely here, everything's holy, everything's perfect, but in the spirit, like most of you would be spending like the rest of your time like trying to figure out, okay, what does it mean to be in the spirit? How do I get to the spirit? How do I find the spirit? What is my spirit? Like, half of you don't even know what that means. Like, and whatever. Okay, and then you got these guys that come along, and now they can introduce their whole series on spirit, soul, body, and how you take it from your spirit into your soul, then through your body, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, let's just introduce Judaism. Like, let's go back to Judaism, because at least it's a little more clear. You know, at least that stuff's like here in the Bible somewhere in the back or in the early parts. And we can just stick to that instead of having like 500 new teachers that you have to find how to pull it from your spirit into the soul, into the natural, for someday where the kingdom of God is kind of here, but not yet. None of that stuff's in the Bible. The Bible simply says, and he's got, I think we sold our 26 shooters to some of you guys already. We had 26 translation Bible. In every translation of it, in like 26 translations lined up in a row, 2 Corinthians 5. Read it, it's drunk, hammered. They say stuff like if any man be in Christ, he's in a whole new world. You know, like if any man be in Christ, the old gone, the new come. Like none of it puts it in a future tense. None of it puts it in a conditional tense. They all clearly say it's just here. It's done. And so there's these guys like saying, it is finished. What's it based on? Not just one passage where Jesus died and said, it is finished. And you're kind of wondering what's finished. You're like, what's finished? Maybe my spirit salvation, not my soul, not my body, not the healing of the earth, not deliverance. Demons aren't cast out. Death's not defeated. It's just like there's some good things somewhere far off somewhere. Hoping, dude. Hope. So, oh, Jesus. But Jesus Christ said, I just want you to see, I just want you to hear it from the lips of Jesus as recorded by Mark. I'll even flip over to Matthew because it's so drunk. It says, the time is fulfilled. What time? The time that everybody's telling you about the promises of God. In Corinthians, it says, every promise is yes and amen in Christ. Yeah. Every. So if you're like standing on a whole bunch of promises, that's fine. Like maybe you're like believing your bank account's going to grow or whatever. It's cool, but like, the promises were Old Testament things. In the New Testament, it's about fulfillment. It's about substance. It's about substance. It's about Jesus Christ. It's all here. So he says, the time is fulfilled. And the Jews knew what he was talking about because they've been hearing about the messianic kingdom of heaven that was going to be set up on the earth. Literally, physically, not just physically, spiritually, but emotionally, everything. This whole new world is going to be established on the planet. They knew, right? You study all the Old Testament, you're hearing about all these coming days, these coming days, these coming days. But why is it like today, under the new covenant, most churches sound the same about the coming days, the coming days, the coming days? Dude, the gospel is not about coming days. The gospel is about what happened 2,000 years ago that you could live in it now. Yeah. Woo! Yeah, it's so good. It is so good.
I had to have some now. Now.
I just had to sneak a little bite. It's like, in a few minutes, we're going to take communion. Well, let's just take it now. Ooh, that's some good body, Lord. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, believe. That's it, dude. Ugh. Oh, yeah, I said I'd read the other one, too. Ooh, it's drunk. Matthew. It's in all the Gospels somewhere. It says... Matthew 4:17. Oh, it's so good, man. I know this is like basic, but honestly, like honestly, most Christians would argue with you over this. Like they'll argue with the gospel. Like they will argue up and down about the gospel. It's like hilarious. Like I'm not talking about like the newest worship model or something, or like how do we should baptize babies or not. I'm just talking about like what's the gospel, and people will like argue you and call you a heretic. But here's what it says. From that time, verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to proclaim, and it just has it right here in parentheses, like the sentence that what Jesus preached everywhere he went. It says, from that time on, everywhere Jesus went, he began to say one thing, repent or change the way you think because the kingdom of heaven has come near. Whoa. And you know what's so funny is like even a lot of these translations kind of water it down. You're like, come near. Well, how near is that? You know what I mean? Like because religion has, like, literally, every person you know grew up religious. It doesn't matter if they're atheist or whoever. They grew up religious because there's only two options. There's either self-improvement or there's the free, effortless gift of God in Christ. There's only two options. Like, everybody's trying to self-improve by efforts. Everybody. Like, even if they're like, I'm not, like, I'm just going to kill myself, then they see, like, suicide as some way to, like, get a better end. You know what I mean? Everything is like steps and process and things. And so even when we hear the gospel, we're like, okay, cool, repent. Okay, how do I do that? What's the process? For the kingdom of heaven has come near. So how near is that, you know? Or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cool, at hand. Well, that might be like it's like close. Like maybe it's tomorrow or it's a couple weeks away, you know? Or maybe it was like a few years away. Or maybe like it was like Jesus when he's like, I'll return soon. And so it's like 2,000 years away or something.
You know what I mean? Like, we put all these qualifiers on it. But that's why I was, like, reading you, like, Hebrews 12. It's all over. Like, Ephesians 2:6 says that you were seated with God in heavenly places in Christ. You were seated at the right hand on the throne, all past tense verbs. I love, like, looking through the scripture and noticing how many times we projected something into the future when the Bible puts it in a past tense. Like we were talking about earlier, glorification. All of you, if you studied anything Christianity, would say, I've been justified, meaning I've been forgiven. That's already happened, right? God already forgave you in Christ. I mean, for some people, that's a new revelation, and it's powerful, and it's beautiful. But that same Romans passage says those who were justified, E-D, were sanctified, E-D. So that's a holy heart. Sanctification, it's not a process either. Whoa! Oh, man, that's controversial. Then it even takes it farther than that. For, like, most people can't get past the sanctification thing. They're going to argue. They're going to tell you, like our favorite article writer, that it was all in your spirit. But you're like justified, sanctified, even glorified. Whoa. Past tense. Glorified. Like a glorified body. Whoa. And I love those three terms because, like, the way I see it, the way the Lord showed me, is like justification is about, like, spirit, but sanctification is about soul, and glorification is about body, but it's all past tense. Wow. They're all past tense words. Like, I didn't make that up. Every translation will show the same thing. Like, there's a few verses that, like, in different translations, they say different things, but, like, all of these are like, heaven's here now. You have come to heaven. You were justified, you were sanctified, you were glorified. Like, so when Jesus said, it is finished, dude, there was a lot of stuff in there. So much. Wow. And so a lot of people are like, I've honestly heard this question, like, if it's all finished, then why are we still here? Why don't we just die now and go to heaven because it's all done? I thought my life was about finishing the job. Well, how about this? What if this life was just like here to enjoy like you thought you were going to do in heaven? Like, you were going to do it in heaven someday. That wasn't useless, right? That wasn't pointless. What about right, if like now was just this, the party started now? Yeah. Honestly, dude. Honestly, like, what if Jesus single-handedly saved the world and we don't have to save the world? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was preached at so many times as if, and I literally felt like it was my job to save the world when, like, isn't that what we said Jesus was? Like, the Savior? Like, it's just funny. It's just funny stuff. Like, there's so many weird things that religion's fed us. And, like, I'm not, like, all mad about religion. I was for a while, because, like, when you're coming out of it at first, you're like, oh, my God, how did I believe that crap? I just want to vomit. Like, I hate it. Like, and I do hate religion still. But now, like, I don't have an axe to grind now. I'm just, like, enjoying some good stuff. And I don't, and I just like, why would I want to like tell you have to keep eating at the pig slop when you can have the feast? Yeah. You know, honestly, like it says there was some glory on Moses, right? Yeah. You know, the Bible where it talks about there was glory on the face of Moses. This is what's confusing for a lot of people in the body right now, because they're hanging out with a lot of religious guys. There's still glory on it. There's still some glory in religion. It gets confusing then, because Moses had some glory. But it says, then the glory of the new covenant is not even worthy to be compared. Or the glory of the latter house is so much greater than the former house. It's not some weird prophetic word. It's talking about the old and the new covenant. The glory of the latter house is the glory where everything is here as on earth as it is in heaven. The glory of the former house was talking about someday when it's going to happen. Like, think about that. It's like the glory of saying, I have $1 billion now versus I'm going to get $1 billion in 100 years. Like, there's a little difference. It's still kind of exciting to think if your family was going to inherit $1 billion in 100 years. There's still some excitement over it. You might get a little excited. You know, and if you have guys that know how to, like, talk about it and they're really eloquent and whatever, you can probably get a room, like, stirred up if they were all going to be a billionaire in 100 years. Like, well, I might die, but my kids are going to be rich. That's cool. That's awesome. There's going to be some good stuff. Like, there's going to be some good stuff in the future. It's always about the future, the far away. But, dude, there'd be a lot more glory if we're all like, bam, let's watch those numbers go up in our bank account right now. Oh man, dude. And so, dude, we're beginning to see like some really cool stuff. I mean, just complete freedom from like any emotional like problem in our heart, you know, complete like all sickness removed from our lives. Like, we're beginning to see wholeness. We're beginning to see, and a lot of you guys are seeing that stuff are already happening. And I just want to say, dude, I believe the gospel, it just includes it all. You know, and all I think the only difference, and this is what Jesus said, is that some people have yet to repent and change their way of thinking so that they could see the kingdom. Yeah. You know what it says? You must become like a little child or you can't see the kingdom. It doesn't say the kingdom's not there. The kingdom's there. The kingdom's coming without whether we believe it or not. Yeah. Not the kingdom's coming. The kingdom is present. The kingdom is now. The kingdom's here whether you believe it or not. But those that become like a little child, or meaning those that say, my 40 years of experience isn't going to like make me some proud like adult that thinks they know what's up. You know what I mean? And that's the biggest thing. It's like it's way easier to preach this gospel to people on the streets because they're like, well, I haven't believed anything about Jesus, but that sounds pretty good, and I don't have to throw out like 20 years of thinking I knew it all. Whoa, Jesus. So it's all here already, guys, whether you believe it or not. Like, because some of you are like, why have I not experienced it then? If all the promises are already here, and that literally is the question that will haunt you until that moment of just like, or until you just remain in that moment, or remain in me, remain and abide in that childlike state of just like saying, my experience, I don't trust my experience. I trust what Jesus said. I trust it. I don't trust my experience. And so, but 99% of the people you're hanging out with most places, like in the workplace or wherever you go, are trusting their experiences. Like that's how they know what's true. Or they're trusting whatever that thing is. And so they'll tell you, dude, life sucks. Life's hard. Life's pain. Life's a process. Life is struggle. In fact, we have lots of really good like psychology and counseling methods to convince you to become okay with that, like to become okay with death. There's a lot of teachings out there that have nicely and kindly attempted to help us to become okay with death, okay with sin, accept process, accept like pain and suffering. Like a lot of people say, well, the joy's in the struggle, you know? Yeah, there's a, you know, the joy's in death. You know, you'll hear people try to say, tell you that, like just lose a family member and hear all the things that people try to say. And they're nice. They're trying to be nice. Like, yeah, but you know, like, you know, and dude, but how awesome would it be like if there was just a solution to wipe it all out? But that sounds way too good to be true for people. So for the most part, they're going to tell you this other stuff to keep you brainwashed, to keep you in that non-childlike state where you're just accepted the stuff. And so what I love, what we're doing in Fort Wayne, Indiana, it's only like a few hours from here, is like we've just invited friends to live near us, and it's just called like doing church or doing like community, where we just encourage each other to say, look, I know like sometimes it doesn't seem like heaven is here, but Jesus said something everywhere he went. And then when we begin to like demonstrate some of that, we like remind each other of those testimonies and encourage each other. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, like today it didn't feel like heaven was here, but don't you remember yesterday when like 12 people were covered with gold dust all over their bodies? What was that? Oh yeah. Okay, so I saw that, but what about this? Well, one of those is an illusion. Yeah. Which one do you want to believe? Like today, right. That today the heavens are closed today, or that the heavens are open today? Right. You know? So there's a little demonstration comes to awaken to you that little demonstration is the tip of the iceberg, dude. You're like, my, you know, I've seen friends healed of cancer. I've seen tons of friends die of cancer. Which one's real? Which one's the illusion? Wow. Well, today I felt discouraged, so I'm just going to go with that everybody's going to die and cancer's like, whatever. Like, you got to accept it. Let's just like comfort each other, come to terms with it. And, you know, honestly, sometimes like just giving someone a comforting word and whatever, you don't have to like go up to tell everyone that's like, oh, your friend's, you know, dying of cancer or whatever. Well, heaven's here, blah, blah, blah. See ya. You know? No, like sometimes you just hang out with them and you're just like, you just love them and you're like not, you don't have some agenda to like try to get them into the full package right now. You know what I mean? You just hang out with them. Like Jesus did that for like a long time. Like nobody believed when he was on planet Earth. That's what Tony was preaching yesterday. You know, no one believed while Jesus was here. You remember when he came out of the tomb? Who was there? Nobody. He popped out like the most glorious day of human history. He's like, woo! Like, where's everybody? Like, this is the big thing, dude, right? Like, bam, like, death's conquered. Like, everything's like, woo, heaven's here, and no one was there. A lot of our meetings is the same way. Like, afterwards we leave, we're like, everybody just, like, disagreed and then went back to their old things. But that's, like, whatever. Because, like, Jesus was just, our Father who art in heaven. I love that prayer. It's so junk for me because what does that say? Our Father who art in heaven. It doesn't talk about a Father who's far away in heaven. What it means is that our Father never lost the heavenly view of reality at any point in time. Oh. You know what I mean? Drunk. Like our Father, a way I was looking at translating it was like, our Father who art always in a heavenly state of bliss, holy is your name. Like Jesus hung out a long time on earth around people that like nobody believed him. You know what I mean? But he never lost his bliss. Like at all times, like, yeah, sure. Like even sometimes when Jesus was suffering, like, yeah, did he feel pain? Yeah. Like, was he like, Lord, is there any other way? Like, was he crying and sweating blood? But listen, it says like our Father who art in heaven, like Jesus never left the throne for a minute. He was just bilocating. You know what I mean? Like Jesus didn't leave his throne in heaven. There was never some separation like of God the Father and God the Son. That's like impossible. You know what I mean? It's like, dude. But Jesus came and he hung out in our illusion. And like it says Jesus even descended into hell. You know, 1 Peter? So if you don't believe that, like it's in the Apostles' Creed, it's like the creed of the church. Like he descended into hell. You know what I mean? To hang out like even like with everybody in their confusion, like everybody, like even in the worst place of confusion, and love us. Like not to just be like, yeah, stupid, get over it, heaven's here. No, like he came out to hang out with us and say, honestly, like heaven for Jesus isn't like even like all the miracles and all the stuff. It's literally like the love and the communion, like of being with us. And so like in the incarnation, he's like, I just want to reveal to you that honestly, like heaven and earth were never separated because I've never left you and I've never forsaken you. This is what's so cool about this gospel. Instead of saying, here's all the steps you have to do to get to heaven, Jesus didn't even say heaven just started now when I arrived, actually. That's what's so funny. He's like, I just wanted to tell you heaven was here. What if heaven had always been here? You know what I mean? But everybody just lost track of it. Yeah. Have you ever been to a place where like everybody just lost track of the truth or reality? Yeah. It's happened. It happens. In fact, I believe the whole human race, like we even preach creation. This is good stuff. Is this okay? Yeah. Like this is drunk for me. I'm getting into like the lovey-dovey stuff now. Oh. In creation, I was always taught that like when Adam and Eve sinned, like the presence withdrew or something. You know what I mean? Like the glory had to lift because God can't be with sin. Although it's hard to explain Jesus' life in that. But even when you look at that story, like even when you look at that story and it's so drunk. The day after they sinned or whatever, like I don't know the exact time frame, but after they sinned, who was hiding in the garden? It wasn't the presence of God. God's like, Adam, where are you? Like they saw us getting drunk.
Yeah.
Like at the fall, dude, God wasn't grieved away. Like our sin, like as much as we thought it brought separation in your minds. Colossians 1 says we were alienated in our minds. We were separated, so we hid. But the way I see it, dude, is like the Garden of Eden, which means pleasure. Like here's playland. Like the earth is like McDonald's play place with the kids playing. And daddy's hanging out. Like daddy's just playing with the kids, except it's one of those play places where like the parents can go into, you know. And they're all like hanging out and like and Adam and Eve do like something like silly or you know whatever, like you know, just imagine it's like maybe they like hit each other or they say like, how about this, they just say, daddy, you're stupid and I hate you, you know. And we've like taught that like daddy then just left the play place forever, never came back. You know, honestly. And then he had to find somebody to kill before he could come back to the play place. But like the way it really went down is here's this beautiful perfect garden and like and the kids say, I hate you, dad, you're stupid, and then they feel bad about it and they like try to hide under the ball pit or something, you know what I mean? And the father knows where they are. But they're the ones hiding, and daddy's like,
where are my friends? Like, where are my kids, you know? Like, I'm not running away. Like, why would I run? Like, why would I leave? Or why would I, like, burn down the play place or, like, withdraw it, you know, or something? And I just believe that religion has fed us so many lies that, like, most of the people out there hate God because they've never heard about this Jesus. Like Tony preached last night, like God is exactly like Jesus. That's what Jesus came to say. Like Jesus came to reveal all the fullness of God's nature and character. And yet we have so many pictures of God that would never be anything like Jesus. Like we'd be comfortable with like God saying it. But if we put those words in the mouth of Jesus, we'd be like, I don't know if he would say that. You know, like Jesus is like, love your enemies. So we don't put these in Jesus' mouth. We like put it in the Father's mouth saying like, well, I'm going to torture and burn my enemies for all eternity or something. Even though Jesus said, love yours. You know, like all these things. Jesus came to say, listen, like you guys thought I was a God, like I was a dad, like I was a deadbeat. You guys thought like my father was a deadbeat dad. But I'm come to tell you by me being fully God and even being man, like not just like I want to get close to you, like I want to be you. Like I want to be a man and not just for like a few years. He's still man. Like Jesus never unincarnated. He's like, he's like, I want to be a man forever. Like, I made you. What if instead of, like, being, like, worthless, like, worms that are, like, kind of, like, set to, like, kind of wave the fans, like, or drop grapes in the mouth of God or something? What if we were created as, like, the perfect vehicle for God to experience life? Like, what if the human race is God's preferred mode of existence? Whoa, wow. Like, what if he made the earth because, like, the earth was, like, freaking amazing? Not like this lesser thing where heaven's like kind of cool. Like heaven's really amazing and I'm going to make this little place called Earth, which like I don't really know. It's like kind of a project. Like maybe like 5% of the people or maybe 10% or like maybe 20% of the people I'll like hang out with like for a long period of time. But most of them I'm going to kind of like burn forever and then like I'll torch the place and I'll take them up here. It's like a weird project. No wonder people are like weirded out by God. Like what if the planet was created as this amazing, like, wonderland that even God was excited about. Yeah. Like, God's like, it's like Disneyland for God. Like, what if, like, the planet was, like, his plan all along? And any good, like, theologian about eschatology will tell you that it's all going to go down. Like, whether we fly up for a minute or wherever we go, it's all going to still be here in the end. Like, any good, like, end times teacher will tell you, like, really, the earth is, like, going to be around forever. As you look at some of these passages of scripture, like, what if this was, like, the whole plan? Like, there wasn't some plan B, you know? What if the Father knew that we were going to get, like, you know, sin all along? And he was like, yeah, they're going to sin and stuff, and, like, bad stuff's going to go on, and they're confusion, they're going to hurt one another. You know, but, like, that doesn't really bother me too much. I'm still going to do what I always planned to do, which is to become a man and hang out with him forever. What if... In that line of thinking, the devil never gets one moment of victory. Exactly. Not just is he like defeated now and we're victorious now. Like the devil never even had like 1 second. It all played into the plan. Like it all played into the hand, dude. Because it was never really a big deal. Like sin was never really that big of a deal. I know that sounds really scandalous. Like, okay, hurting people has always been a big deal in God's mind, right? But the idea of sin is this idea that God was really, really upset and like couldn't figure out what to do. Or maybe he knew what to do about it, but it was like really made him mad. But listen, like when your kids tell you like, I hate you, daddy. Or even when they kill each other or something, like if that were happening in someone's family, it's horrible. But listen, like most parents are going to come to a place where somehow, dude, they're going to love their kids no matter what. Like they're not going to like have to figure out all these weird like things, like plans like kill somebody else and like bring all these like weird things in to like fix it. Like they're just going to, like what if you were always forgiven? Like, what if, like, God forgave you beforehand? Because, like, God couldn't ever live without you. You know? I don't know. Some of these I'm asking a little bit questions. I haven't figured it all out. You know what I mean? But what I did was, like, I've been soaking in this message of the kingdom of heaven is here for, like, 6 years. And it's a rabbit hole that kind of takes you down. Like, certain beliefs don't line up anymore. Right, exactly. Like, for me, I'm like, if it doesn't line up with unconditional love, I throw it out now.
And that's like weird because there's some passages like, what about the unforgivable sin? What about Ananias and Sapphira? What about, we get all these questions. And some of them, I'm not really sure, but like Robert Capone said, like there's a lot of passages in the scripture that contradict one another seemingly. But there just comes a point where you decide you're either going to be on the side of grace or you're going to be on the side of works. And you decide, like, I'm going to interpret some of these like things that don't make sense in a gracious way. I'm just going to go that route. Or, like, let's just focus on the main things. Like, maybe you're like, I don't know every passage in the Bible, but, like, the ones I was sharing with you tonight are pretty clear. Like, heaven's here. It's a free gift for everybody. Like, it's a message Jesus said everywhere. Like, here it is. Bam. Have it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Maybe you want to go away and analyze that a little bit more. Or let me go over to my other favorite passage, which I already quoted. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. Like, let's just get back to majoring on the majors. That's what I'm saying, too. You know what I mean? Like, I introduced some crazy ideas. I know some of them you felt the love on, though, didn't you? So that's probably good, because God's love. But, like, even I don't care if you believe about my eschatology or blah, 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 or this or that, or even if you're not totally sure about, like, entire sanctification, because I'm preaching entire sanctification, but not as a process, not as holier than thou, because everyone's got it now for free. It's hard to be holier than thou when everybody's holy. kind of eliminates that, right? Like, there's only two options for removing holier than thou. Everyone's a sinner or everyone's a saint. There's only two options there. So you can either like just dwell in like we're worms. I'm a worm. Like I might be preaching a lot of amazing things and seeing cool things, but I'm still a worm and you're a worm too. Or you can say, I'm amazing, but you know what? You are. You're like, we're all mirrors reflecting each other the glory of God. So there might be all kinds of like things that you're like, whoa, I don't know about that or about this. But like, oh, dude, I mean, let's just read a passage like every Christian's like kind of come to love at least most of the time. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Oh, man, I almost have to back up farther. Yeah. Oh. Woo, because the wax, he's like back up because the wax in there in the previous verses too. Verse 13 for you, Tony. For you, Tony. Oh, let's just go back to 12. Holier than you. We are not commending ourselves to you, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance, but not in the heart. It says, for if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. This is what Tony preached last night, but it's so drunk, dude. It's like a lot of people, a lot of you guys are like, I love the whack. I just want to be whacked. Anybody? Anyway, if you're not, that's fine. I got to be high. I love intimacy. I'm married. I love it. A lot of bedroom glory. Like, the gospel heals your marriage. Not just heals your marriage, whole. Like, what's a whole marriage look like? Woo. What's a glory sex life? Ooh. Oh, he said sex in church. Intimacy and ecstasy. I love intimacy and I love ecstasy. Like, I got to be high. If I wasn't a believer, I'd be on every drug. I'd be on something. I'd probably kill myself by now. I'd be dead. Because, like, I'm addicted. Like, that's what this is like. Like, when we're done with this meeting, I'll still be, like, in the car going. Dude, we were up all night long just, like, telling stories and just, like, vibrating. Just like, oh, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you feel that? Whoa, Shaka. Hey, like, this meeting for me is just like a chance to share it with you because, like, I'm doing this all the time. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I got to be high and I have to have intimacy. Like, and so he says, if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. Or someone say, if we're out of our minds, it's for God. Ooh. If we're in our right minds, it's for you. Like, I can kind of preach because I, like, pull out a little bit. Well, not exactly, but I kind of pull into a different realm. And I can talk. Wow, talking about that, though, I can see a little. If we're in our right minds, it's for you. Actually, one translation says, if we're in our right minds, it's because of the fear of man. But... Which is another way to look at it, but I don't know.
For the love of Christ urges us or compels us because we are convinced. Because why? It's like, if we're out of our minds, here's why. So a lot of you guys are like, I want to be drunk all the time. Like, we get that all the time. Like, number one, like, email is always like, how can I be high? Like, I want to be whacked. Like, cool, I love all your other stuff on there, but I saw a video where you look drunk. And if it's real, I want it. How do I get it? Paul said, we're out of our minds, it's for God, because the love of Christ compels us. So if it doesn't agree with love, it'll kill your buzz. And because we are convinced, oh my God, it's good. Because we are convinced, there comes a moment where you're not like weighing this out, where you actually like, I think heaven really is here. Where like, I think that God and man are inseparably united in the person of Jesus. There comes a moment where you're convinced that one has died for all. Not all of us like beating ourselves up or crucifying ourselves all the time, but one has already died for all. So there's that word all, like all. Who is that? All believers? Oh, just, no, it doesn't say the word believers. You can put that in parentheses and write an article about it. Honestly. Like, it's just funny, dude. Like, the stuff that we, how can I qualify this? How can I exclude a bunch of people? I'm jacked up because I'm convinced that one died for all, and therefore all have already died. It's like when were you saved? When you said the sinner's prayer? Well, when you said the sinner's prayer, did Jesus like come down and die on the cross and then get resurrected? No, it says he died at a literal moment of physical, like on the earth and in real time, 2,000 years ago. So I'm convinced that like I'm jacked up because of the love of Jesus, that he would give everyone the full package. That's a summary of it. Because I'm convinced that one died for all, meaning the whole illusory old world that people were struggling in the old covenant, and that a lot of people are still struggling in today in their religious life. Like I told you, there's only two ways. There's religion or the gospel. They're in their whole religious life. That Jesus was crucified for that, to say, listen, if at the worst moment of human history, like Jared said, I'm extending my open arms to you. Do you not think that the full glory would be manifested to you in every moment? If at the worst moment, what was the worst moment of human history when man killed God? Worst time. Like the infinite love came and like stood in front of you, like more childlike than all the children of the earth combined. Stands in front of you and is like, oh, you're amazing. And we all together with one voice killed him. Crazy. Worst thing ever, right? But at that very moment, like God, this is the words out of God's mouth at that moment. Forgive them all. Forgive them all because they don't know. They think that I'm bad. That's the whole thing. This whole thing has been about the goodness of God. Humanity decided at one point that God was bad for some reason. And so we got upset at God and we killed God. But we just didn't know in God, so God wasn't upset about it. Like even sometimes when Paul would preach the gospel, he's like, you guys were all ignorant, so God wasn't worried about it. You remember that time in Mars Hill where he's like, in times past, you were ignorant. He like gives you actually the ignorance card. That's what's funny about it. Like some guys will like beat you over the head and tell you how like stupid you were on that day. I mean, I wasn't alive 2,000 years ago. You know what I mean? Like killing Jesus, literally. Like some guys will literally like try to get you to like literally like own up to all of it. But like Paul's like, listen, I don't even care. In fact, on that day, Jesus was like, I don't care if they understand how terrible they are. They could even blame me. That's what the cross was. We blamed him. And he's like, cool. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends that are like blaming God for all the problems in the world. And we try to argue him out of it. Jesus was like, no big deal. Like, just blame me. You know what I mean? I don't care. Because maybe if you blame me, you can just like get over it and we can still hang out. Like blame me for a while. We can process it together. We can talk about it. You know, and eventually there might come a time when you're just like, wow, like God's not a dick. And you're like, because like I was really pissed at him. But you know what? Like he didn't ignore me. He just like said, like, let's like just talk it out. Let's hug it out. You know, beat it out of me if you want, because some people have been through a lot of pain. You know what I mean? And it wasn't even their fault. Like, think of the kids that were like born into abuse and lived decades in abuse. You know what I mean? And come and try to tell them they're a dirty sinner that needs to repent. It's probably like a different message they need to hear. You know, and Jesus is like,
It's, you can even beat it out of me, and on that day, I'm going to give it to everyone. Everyone. The people that beat me, I'm going to give it to them. Like, I love the movie. I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but I love the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. A lot of Christians hated the movie. After this message, go and check it out. It's kind of a cool movie. I weep like a baby. Tony and I wept like kids watching it at the Cana School. We just watched 10 minutes of it at the end. I kind of want to ruin it for you right now, but... All right, you can watch it. Yeah, it's on YouTube because it wasn't that popular because all the Christians boycotted it. But but in the movie, dude, Robin Williams and his spouse are so... They're so in love, dude. They're soulmates. It's about soulmates. You know your soulmates with Jesus? They're soulmates, dude, and she commits suicide because, like her kids died and she blamed herself. She commits suicide, and, like, you know how many Christians have a problem with that? They just, like, well, they're in hell forever. So the movie even takes that concept, and it's like, okay, we'll agree with that common, like, thing that people believe today, and we'll just say she was in hell. But Robin Williams' character ends up, I don't know, he dies too. Yeah, he dies and goes to heaven. He dies in a car accident. So they're both, like, they're all in eternity. The whole family had, like, passed on or whatever. So, like, he's in heaven, but the angels escorting him around heaven or whatever the thing is, it's not, like, totally, like, accurate, but the heart of it is accurate as anything. Angels escorting him around and showing him, like, all these amazing places. And he's like, cool, like, this is great, but where's my wife? And, like, that, I just, that's the heart of Jesus, dude. Like, all this glory was cool, but, like, not without you. You know? Like, this glory is, like, awesome, you know? It's great. Like, the things, like, the angels and the supernatural, that's all great. But you know what God's excited about is the people. Like, that's his dream. That's what he dreams about. He doesn't care about miracles. Those are easy. And those are shallow. Like, miracles are whatever. Like, miracles are cool. Like, they're awesome because they awaken people. Yep. Yeah. But people, dude, each one of you are an endless ocean of, like, mystery. Like, for God. Like, he never is going to, like, be like, yeah, I know them totally. Cool, boring, let's move on. He made you in such a way that you're, like, so deep. Every one of you is like an endless pool. Just, like, remind myself of that, too. Sometimes, you know, you're just like, wow, you're, like, there's so much to you, you know. Like, God loves, like, exploring you forever. Like, he's not like a spouse that gets bored after a while. They enter into this movie, and, like, Robin Williams and the is like, where's my wife? And they're like, well, she's in hell because she committed suicide. And that's kind of what we did as a human race, you know. Like, we killed ourselves. And we were... You know, whatever, like, we killed ourselves, so we're in our own self-made darkness. In him, there is no darkness at all. But he's like, dude, so the whole movie is about how the husband just finds a way to go to hell. And he descends into hell. And there's such an amazing moment, like, because during life, like, in the movie, God, I've told this story a ton of times. During life in the movie, like, when they were still alive, before, like, they had this thing where, you know, she kind of goes crazy after the kids die, and so the kids were dead first, and then the husband and the wife are, like, there and there, and she has to go to, like, this mental institution, and he would go to visit her there and, like, try to, like, you know, talk her back into reality. And and in life, in the life story, like, at some point, he's like, he ends up getting her out of the mental institution by, like, right when they're about to give up, because he's been visiting her for so long and, like, nothing's happening. She's still, like, kind of out of her mind in grief and stuff. And he goes to visit her in the mental institution, and just as he's about to give up, like, you know, he's like, sometimes. He's like, you know what, like, oh, no, like, just the fact that, like, he kind of gave up and just, like, and surrendered to, like, keep going to the institution or whatever. And she's like, you know, sometimes when you lose, you win. And so that phrase like kind of goes, and the movie goes on, and then you get toward the end when he finally makes it to hell and he finds his wife, and like she's so confused that she doesn't even recognize him. And so like he made that whole journey and he sees his wife and he's like, and she's like, who are you? And so he's like, whatever, like, I just want to be with you. So he introduces himself as the gardener just so he can hang out, you know. Like, we once thought of Jesus according to the flesh, but we know him no longer, you know. We once knew him just as, like, the gardener or whatever, just as, like, something else. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, didn't you used to have a husband? And she's like, yeah. And so he kind of starts talking about that and, like, shares some stuff. And she's not getting it. Like, she doesn't get it. And the angel that finally, like, takes him down there to bring him to that place is, like, if you're in there more than, like, 3 minutes, if you're in there more than, like, 3 minutes, you'll go crazy like her. You know, you won't be able to take her back. Like, a couple people have tried this before, you know. A couple of religious leaders tried this stuff. And they lost their minds. But, like, or whatever. So at like the 3 minute mark, it's like, I don't know if his watch goes off or he just realizes, like, at the 3 minute mark, he goes back out and he talks to the angel and he's like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's true. I'm giving up. It was, you know, or whatever. And the angel's like, cool, let's head out. And he's like, no, like, I'm actually going to stay. You might have saw this go in this direction, but he just says, like, I'm going to stay, and he goes back in. And it's like he chooses to stay, and as they kind of descend, there comes this moment, like, right as he's, like, losing his mind and whatever, like, she realizes it's him. And, like, it was at the point where he said, like, I would rather be in hell than be in heaven without you. Like, she awakens, and they both are, like, immediately transported into the heavenly bliss. Yeah. Yeah, dude. The victory, dude. And this is what the incarnation was about. The incarnation, like, Christmas time. A lot of glory on it, dude. Like, a lot of freaking glory. We were in our confusion, in our self-made hell. Like, this is a message, dude, that I think anybody would weep over this. Not just because you're, like, spiritual people, dude. Like, people want to be loved. Like that. Like, what love is like that? And so, like, I love, like, all kinds of crazy stuff, but, dude, the good news of Jesus is so much better. Dude, and I think anybody can get it if we would stop putting our qualifiers, stop trying to get people right with a bad God, trying to get people reconciled to a God that they know there's more love than that somewhere. That's why the worldwide massive awakening, like, whatever, hasn't taken place, because still we haven't really understood what Jesus was about. We've had these things where Jesus is the answer, brother. Cool, that meant nothing to me, even though I said it thousands of times. But Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, means God our salvation. Wow. Means God does all the work. You can sum it up that way. God does it all. That's the name Jesus. So Jesus is the answer. Okay, cool. What does that mean? That means God will do anything and everything to make sure that you're in heaven with him. Oh. Oh. I love the name Jesus now. Like, I love singing the name. Because it's like, oh, wow. Like, I don't have to do anything to get closer to him. Because Jesus. Because God, our salvation. Because God does all the work. I don't have to blah, blah, blah. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. Oh, like, I hear the name Jesus again, and I remember that God did all the work. I just, when I hear the name Jesus now, I hear salvation here, free for everyone. The word salvation just means to awaken to all of the richness of heaven's benefits now. Everything in union with God in Christ, you have heaven. So the goodness of this good news, like, the message of a love that's, like, not just like Tony loves me or our church loves me or that one night I felt something. But, dude, the gospel is an eternal declaration That you, Paul comes to his conclusion. I love Bible study, dude. I read the book of Romans, and it takes me somewhere, not just Romans Road, but where it takes me, the primary conclusion of the book of Romans, summed up at the end of chapter 8. He's all building up to this point of the end of Romans chapter 8, where he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Come on. Yeah.